Good morning, church. So this morning I'm going to share the testimony of Jesus Christ in my life. I'm just going to highlight some things. Pastor said some of it for me, and so I'll just start out at birth. You're looking at my age, you're thinking, how long is this going to take? I've got 15 minutes. I was born into a household that was very rich in music, classical music. My mother was a concert pianist and a piano teacher. Everybody in our household played an instrument. My sister played the cello. My brother played the violin. You've never lived your childhood unless you had a brother learning how to play the violin in the house. And I sang and did ballet, and so I did that for many, many years. And when I got to be a little older, I decided that I really didn't want this kind of lifestyle, and I probably had a very promising singing or dancing career, but I decided I wanted to do something else. So I went out to Southern California to be a hippie. I thought that just sounded better than singing and ballet. So I went out there, and needless to say, I got into a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. I met some people, and before you know it, I was doing drugs day and night, and I did that for many years. And it seemed like the things that God had blessed me with, the talents and the gifts and the abilities, they were just gone, and they were just hidden. They weren't there anymore. And so I carried on like this for many, many years, and I lost everything, lost home, lost family. And somewhere about the age of 32, I decided, I was living in Sacramento at the time, and there I was going to commit suicide. But before I did that, I had heard about Reverend Schuller's Crystal Cathedral. There's a big, large cathedral down there. And I thought, and there was a priest that was going to speak there that morning. And he was going to give his testimony how God delivered him from alcohol. And I thought, well, I think I'll just go down there and I'll just, you know, listen to him, see what he has to say. So I went there. I went to the service that they had in the church. And the place is mammoth. It's got thousands of windows in there. And there was this huge pipe organ that was very, very loud. And way up at the top of the window, they had these windows. And up at the very top of the window, there was this little bird. And you could hear that bird singing over that pipe organ. And I knew enough about voice lessons that that bird didn't have what it took to sing over that pipe organ. So there must be a God. There really must be a God. So I went to the bookstore that they had there, and I bought a little book called Daily Power Thoughts, and I took it to the park the next day. I bought the book to learn how to succeed in business. I had no business, but I thought that might be the next thing we try. And so I was sitting there all alone on the park bench, and I opened up the page to the book. It was in July, and in there was a sinner's prayer. And a little thing that told you that if you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, that he would erase all of your sins and he would give you a brand new page to write on. And I thought to myself, well, that's what I need. I think I'll just sit here and do this. And that's what I did. And I sat there and I prayed that prayer. I didn't know what born again was. I didn't know any of that. All I knew is that I had just done this and I felt kind of different. And I sat there, and I looked up, and this woman came walking down the pathway. I thought she was a little odd-looking, but, you know, when you take a lot of drugs, you just don't pay attention to what things like that. You just don't know. I know now she was an angel, but I didn't know what she was then. And so she came, and she sat down next to me, and she said, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "I just prayed this prayer in the book." And she reaches into her pocket, and she took out a little Gideon's Bible, and she says, "You're going to need this." And she got up and walked off and disappeared. And I thought, well, okay, we'll go from here. So to make a long story short, I moved back home to Tennessee. That's where I'm from. And I started going to an Assembly of God church there. And it was an awesome church. We had an awesome pastor. It was just an incredible place of God. And God started to pour into me. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And there was this little lady in there. She was 86 when I met her. And that was a long time ago. And I looked at this woman, and I had never seen anybody like this in my life. She operated in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I had been in an occult, so I knew it was something in a spirit world. It wasn't in the natural world. But I didn't quite know what. But I found out. And she would lay hands on me and delivered me of many things. And I just began walking with God. And 3 years later, I got my first ministry assignment. God called me back to California to work at Bakersfield Teen Challenge at the Women's Center. Thank you, Teen Challenge. We are glad you are here. And I worked there for, I think, about 2 years, and I saw miracles. I saw the miracles that we read about in the book of Acts. There were miracles at Teen Challenge. Such an awesome ministry. And in the 2 years that I were there, 350 women came through the doors. They didn't all stay, but that's how many came. And we saw plenty delivered. And I'm so grateful for that ministry. But I had a feeling that God had something else. So I went back home again to Tennessee. And here I am in Tennessee, went back to my church that I had missed desperately, and I started teaching kindergarten to children in the church. And I didn't quite understand it because, quite frankly, I didn't like children that much. And my goal was I was going to open up a women's teen challenge. I was not going to minister to children. So during this time, I also was traveling through churches singing and sharing my testimony, and somebody donated to me a big van full of hairspray and bread. And so I got some of my women ministry friends. I said, well, let's just go knocking on the project doors. You just don't do that in the South. And let's give away this hairspray and bread and see what happens and witness to people. So we did that. So there was this one small apartment complex, and we knocked on the door. We gave away the hairspray and the bread, and we led a lady to Christ. And we had the audacity to say, could we come back next week and do a children's Bible study in your living room? And she said, well, sure you can. So we did. We went back the next week and had a little tiny flannel graph and preached the gospel to these children. Well, in this little Bible study, there was a little boy that came. He was 3 years old. He was going to be 4 the next day. And I remember telling my worker, I said, look at that little boy. My heart just went out to this child. I said, look at that little boy. I said, I wish I had that little boy. Well, that little boy, he just folded his hands at the altar call time and asked Jesus to forgive him of his sins and come into his heart. And I looked at him and I thought, what kind of sin could that little 4-year-old have? But that's the convicting power of God. And so time went on and I kept up with this child because my heart just loved him. And he's here today. He said, don't point me out. So I won't point him out, but he was the one sitting next to me over there in the row. And so to make a long story short, I ended up having custody of Brandon, and we moved out here, and it was just an awesome thing. He needed a mother, and I needed a son. And so there he was. And I would think that out of all ministry that I've had through the years, that is the greatest blessing right there. So we went on to do Sidewalk Sunday School. And there were many, many children that came to Sidewalk Sunday School. But I want to tell you how it started. Because small beginnings are so very important. I had a dream one night that I had borrowed a flatbed trailer from somebody, put bales of hay on it, and took it out into the inner city and had puppet shows for kids and had an altar call. That was how it all started. And I couldn't figure out why. What am I going to do that for? So I decided, well, I think I knew the dream was of God. So I said, well, I think I'll just do what was in the dream. And that started it out. That's exactly what we did. And we started out like that. And three years later, it was three sidewalk Sunday school trailers, two buses that we bused kids in all over the place. And God began to move through the city of Memphis in sidewalk Sunday school. We saw some very wonderful, wonderful things. Many children saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And so just out of a simple thing, God used, and he grew it and grew it. I could have never had believed what he would have done in that place, but he did. And so as I started traveling as a children's evangelist, I turned that over to people that we had trained up in the ministry. I decided to move out here. My grandson was in Grants Pass, and I didn't want him to grow up without knowing about Jesus. So I just decided that God was leading us to move out here. And so we did that, and we traveled and went everywhere together. And just Brandon and I, we've had some church services. We have seen some stuff. And so it's been a long life of just ministry and in revivals. I was in one revival atmosphere after another. And it was a shock when I moved to the valley because I had really not ever seen anything like this before. Everywhere in the south, the churches they're rich with the Holy Spirit and they're open. The whole society, you don't have to have permits to go out and put up trailers. You just go. It's part of the culture, which is what we want to do. We want to influence the culture. So in 2016, I got diagnosed with an incurable disease, and it blew my mind. I had to stop many, many things. It changed my life. It changed my life for every single thing except my relationship with Christ and the Word of God. Those two things I had, and they pulled me through. And I began praying, God, would you please send a man to this valley who will allow your spirit to move in his church. You can do a lot of things, but if the Holy Ghost doesn't touch you and draw you, you're just talking. And so I prayed and prayed, and even sometimes I told God, you have got to get me out of here. But that didn't happen. He said, hold still and I'll bring it to you. Well, you know, 10 years is a long time to hold still if you got type A personality. And I have got one. So about a year ago, here at this church, we had a minister's meeting, a church planning meeting. And I knew that I was going to meet somebody at this church planting meeting. I just had such an urgency to get here. And I didn't know what it was for. So I came to the meeting, and I was looking around the room, and I thought, somebody here must be wanting to plant a church Medford, because they need another Assembly of God church. I didn't meet anybody, so I went home. Well, about a week later, 2 weeks later, God spoke to me, and he says, I want you to call the pastor of that Parkway church and share something with him. And he gave me something to share with him. And I thought, oh, this is crazy. Go and tell somebody like this that don't even know him. So I sent him an email and I met with him. And I shared what God gave me to share with him. And I left and I thought, there's something different about that man, and I've seen that before somewhere. So I still didn't pay too much attention, but then God started working on me. Well, why don't you go visit there? So you know God's setting something up. So I did. I came and I visited several times, and then I felt like the Lord called me to come here. So I moved from Central Point, and here I am. But I want to talk a little bit about Moses this morning. Moses is one of my heroes in the Bible. You know, he was found floating in the Nile River by Pharaoh's daughter, and she took Moses home with her, took him in, and she raised him as her own child. So Moses, therefore, was a highly educated person because he was educated in Egypt, and that is a culture and a country that is very advanced, or it was back then. So he had money, he had education, he had everything, but he still had a Hebrew birth that he knew about. And if you recall how the story goes, one day he was out somewhere and he saw an Egyptian abusing a Hebrew slave. And he went up and he took charge of that, and he ended up killing the Egyptian. So, of course, they threw him out of the country. And he had to make a choice at that time. Was he going to go with the God of his birth, or was he going to continue as an Egyptian? And they sent him out of the country. They gave him only a staff, and he had to cross a desert and to go to wherever it was he was going. I think the name of the town was Midian. And at the end of these travels across the desert, for the next 40 years, God began to prepare Moses for what he was going to do when he was 80. That's a lot of preparation. We're always in some kind of preparation. And then God called him to go back to Egypt and to set the people free from bondage, because there were many that were slaves there. And I'm going to just quickly kind of go through Exodus, and you can read this when you go home, Exodus 3 and 4, when God began to speak to Moses. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now, Moses could be a little slow at times, and he began to question God and argue with God. In Exodus 4:1, he says, well, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? What if they say you never appeared to me? And then the Lord asked Moses something very special. It's okay, I'm all right. He asked Moses, he says, what is that you have in your hand? Moses was standing there just with his rod. What's that you have in your hand? And Moses got it right. He said, a rod. But then God, as he began to tell him how he would overcome every single obstacle, Moses kept on. He said in verse 10, Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. God gave him another reason why he would be with him. But then Moses again said, Lord, please. Finally, he says, send someone else. Have you ever prayed that? I prayed that sometimes. Please don't send me. Would you send someone else? But God doesn't listen. So Moses had lots of reasons not to go. He did. He had fear. He had dealt with these Egyptians before, and they were not very nice. He had doubt. He had doubt in himself. He had doubt in God. He had a speech impediment. He was 80 years old. He had a family, a home, the comforts of life. And though he had been highly educated in the Egyptian ways, he was now just a shepherd tending his father-in-law's sheep. How was he going to go and set millions of slaves free from Pharaoh? But he did. But God had a plan for his life long before he was born, and this was the time for it to come to life. Finally, Moses said yes to God. I'm going to leave my notes here for a minute and just share with you from your heart, from my heart. So in this community, if you've ever driven through here, you know that there are many needs here, many needs in this community. And God today still hears the cries of people. He still hears the cries of mothers pleading for their children to come to God. He hears the cries of the drug addicts. He hears the cries of poverty. He hears the cries of mental illness and emotional illness. And I believe with all my heart that this church is a hospital for God, for his things. I see so many things here, God coming, God trying to prepare us and making a way. And in this building, there's a foundation, but there's also a spiritual foundation here where the people that have gone before us, that prayed and opened this building for the first time. They prayed. They welcomed people at the door. They held hands of people that lost loved ones. They fed people. They did all the things that there is to do in a church, which we should be doing, that represents Jesus Christ. They prepared the way for us. And I believe with all my heart that God wants to move here. But he wants to move in a mighty way, maybe a way we have never seen him move before. But he must have a people and a place that is ready. So when you come into a church and you're new and you have children, You want a place for those children to go where you can feel very sure that nothing's going to happen to them. When you go into the restroom, you want everything to be in there, all the paper products. At least I do. If you're sick, you want somebody to anoint you with oil and pray for healing over you. There's a lot of things that we do in a church. Many things. And I've always noticed that God moves in structure. He's not a loosey-goosey God. He moves in structure. And when we are prepared and we have everything in place, I believe God's going to move. He's going to move in a mighty way, and we're going to see many people set free and accept Jesus Christ. In a few minutes, you're going to have a choice to make. There's going to be many opportunities presented to us today where we can get involved and we can grow the platform of the church. We can grow the foundation of the church, because if the foundation is small and big crowds come, what's going to happen? You won't have a lot of fruit. So we have to be prepared and ready for God to move. And so I'm going to ask you today, just like God asked Moses, what do you hold in your hand today? What do you have in your hand that God can use? It might be something very small. It might be something very big. But I assure you, he wants to use it in this place. And for my closing scripture before Pastor comes, I want to read just one more scripture to you, found in Matthew 9, 36 through 38. And it's our Lord. And Jesus said, but when he saw the multitudes, and I'm telling you that he still sees the multitudes that have not come yet. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Could you bow your heads and let me pray with us for just a minute? Lord Jesus, when you look this way, we don't want you to see no laborers. We offer ourselves up to you today, Lord. And from the hearts that are here today that are willing, God, please draw them to where they should be. Equip each and every person, Lord, as you do so eloquently. We just thank you and we praise you today for the call that's on this person, for the call that's on this body, for the call that is on this house. We are willing, Lord. Look this way. Help us not to fail you, God, but to each one to do what you have given the task to do. And we thank you so much, Lord, in Jesus' name.
There's nothing more frustrating than a promise move of God being stuck because we're not ready for it. And I'm not talking about you first, I'm talking about me. I've sat as your pastor, served you for 4 years, and I think there's this overwhelming sense that God wants to do something new and fresh in this region through this church. You sense it when you walk in the room. You feel the waves of the Holy Spirit come, and it reminds me of the lesson that it really does take three things to see the move of God that God intended for a region. One is it takes a bunch of willing people that are willing to surrender just to be servants. And two, it takes God's will, God's mind, his authority, him leading the church. And then it takes a group of people that are willing to move with a move, to say, God, we're not going to stay so rigid that we don't have your moving. So I thought maybe it would be really good, because many people pray for a sign. And this morning we're going to give you a sign. To run a Sunday service here takes anywhere from 60 to 100 volunteers on a given Sunday, depending on the size of our crowd. Many of our volunteers just serve every Sunday because we don't have enough volunteers to give them proper respite for them to come and enjoy a service. One of my simple goals, and they're going to watch us afterwards, is I want Bill and Georgia Whitlock to be able to sit by me at least one Sunday a month. I think that's a really good goal. It's a really good goal. But it's going to take a whole bunch of us in this service to be willing to say yes. You say, Pastor, I can't talk behind a microphone. Good, we're not asking you to do that. You say, Pastor, I don't have a lot to give. Good, we're not asking for you to give a lot. We're not even asking you to sign up to serve every Sunday. What we're asking you is to make sure that your answer is not zero. Whether you can serve one time a year at RFK, whether you can serve one time a month in one of the ministries that God's placed here, we felt strategically that before we get to see what God truly wants to do here, we've got to create the structure for him to be able to move and work. And that structure is not buildings, it's not even resources just like money. Before those things get answered, it's the answer of people. And so I believe that you're called more than just sitting in a pew, sitting in a chair. I believe that God's called you with a purpose, designed you with something unique in mind. And you're here this morning, you might say that you're too old. I would say Moses said that, and you'd want to hear God's answer again. Timothy maybe thought he was too young, and I don't know if you want to hear what Paul's answer to Timothy was. Don't let anyone look down on you young. So we know that age is not an excuse to give zero. We know that talent is not a reason or excuse to give zero, because God will use what's in your hand. As Pastor Sharon said, this morning all we're looking for is for you to go inwardly, have a conversation with the Holy Spirit, and then look up, and you're going to see some signs of where you can get involved. So Brooke, would you pray for us? And I want this ministry and parade of wonderful volunteers to give this sign to the people of where God might be able to use them. Would you sing for us? By Parkway. These are the, I think there's 21, if the number 20-ish, that we need the most help in right now. So Misty says her first. I like that. We are in desperate need. When I say desperate need, as I announced last Sunday, our Easter service, I know Easter can be a little bit deceiving, but I do believe it can be a stress test for how our church congregation is growing. 2 weeks ago, we had the largest people crowd that we had on a Sunday in the 4 years that we have been here. Would you give the Lord a big round of applause for that? Incredible. To get more specific, we had over 800 people on our campus between our preschool, elementary school, and what was in the building. We had, ready for this one, 50 children that were 4 years and under in our preschool wing. Talk about a lot of noise. To give you some kind of context, when we first arrived here 4 years ago, our preschool wing was averaging anywhere from 15 to 20 wonderful, beautiful four and unders. I believe the people that God cares about the most are those babies that are four and under. Now, I know he cares about them all, but there's something about those little ones that I believe God smiles when he looks down on. I am thankful that a whole bunch of young families are starting to come to the church and supplement the many of us that are a little bit older on the spectrum. And is anyone a little bit older on the spectrum? Come on. I want you to hear what I said. We love the old people. But we're thankful that God, what God's doing here is intergenerational. We're thankful that God is touching the zeros and the ones and all the way up to the hundreds. Lord, let us live to 100 in Jesus' name. What we're believing for, though, this morning is very tangible. If you're seeing a sign in front of you where you can go, I can't be on the stage, but I could be a part of a media team and zoom in and out of a camera. I could be part of the sound team. I can be part of the worship team. I can hold a child so that a mom and dad can come in and get spiritually nourished for their week. I can volunteer for RFK because we need 10 volunteers to be counselors for Royal Family Kids Camp. I don't know where God's going to lead or guide you at this morning, but if you could find the person, there's two ways you can do this. Find the person that's holding the sign and say, how do I get involved? And they're going to make sure that your information that you're going to fill out on that card, the card that you were given that says the answer is never zero. We're not going to talk about helping. We're not going to talk about just the needs of the church. We're actually going to be the tangible response for what God needs in our community. And so you can either hand it to the people that are in front of you or directly after the service. We have a full team of people that are going to be at the hub. You say, Pastor, I'm open to serve anywhere. Please go to the hub and put your information in. And this week we're going to give you a phone call because what we believe is God is setting this church up for what's to come in the next coming season of this church. And the Lord spoke directly to us as pastors and staff that before God's hand gets on us completely, we're going to have to fix some of the structure things that are happening. So how many can do something? Just one thing. Would you raise your hand? Could you do one thing? We're just asking you to do one thing. And that's find that place in this church, your church, where God's going to deposit you. Kayla's like, please, we need your help. And I can point out, first through fifth grade, we had close to 70 kids on Easter Sunday, 65-ish to 70 kids. How many can get around a first through fifth grader and share Jesus with them in an incredible way? How many can join the youth team? Because I know the youth team needs help. We need life group leaders. We got Rock the Block outreaches coming up. There are so many areas where you can get involved that I believe it's just going to start with a simple yes. So let's pray over you. And then what we're going to do today is the altar call is not just going to be a solemn moment where we ask the Holy Spirit to come move on our flesh. We're going to ask him to move us in our decisions to a place where we can actually help God's kingdom begin to grow and expand in some incredible ways. Before we get going here, would you guys give Pastor Sharon a big round of applause for blessing us with that wonderful word today? She did such an incredible job. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the yes that's going to come in this room, that's already in this room, the faith that we feel for a growing and vibrant church. Lord, you know exactly where you designed and desire the people in this room to take the next step at. Lord, would you direct our conversations today? Would you cause us to be people that are obedient to your yes? And we thank you for what you're going to do in advance. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen. Hey, before you head out that direction, would you come find somebody that's up front? Maybe slap them high five, introduce yourself. And if not, would you go back to the hub and talk to the people at the hub? God bless you guys. We'll see you next Sunday.